welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. It's Wednesday, March 15th, and first thing on the show today, a conversation with two Chris Dorches about the Chattanooga Film Festival. They're a father and son team, and Chris Dorch, the son, is the driving force behind the Chattanooga Film Festival, which is scheduled for the first weekend in April. This year marks the fourth time that Dorch and his father, Chris Dorch, and crews of passionate volunteers have staged the festival, and it's gained a national reputation for the range of films featured and for the passion and professionalism of Dorch and his staff. WUTC's Richard Winham has this conversation with them.
According to his dad, who's also called Chris, Chris Dorch has been obsessed with film and filmmakers pretty much all his life. But it was when his dad introduced him to the Preston Sturges classic Sullivan's Travels that his philosophy on film and subsequently his approach to programming the festival was formed.
Being an impressionable lad, I bought him that film early on. It was Criterion Collection, and he absorbed it like he did everything else and took notes on the expert commentary. He got to realize that every film is worthy, from the worst B-movie to, you know, the pretentious art house movie, if you will, or the popcorn movie. They're all vital in his eyes. They're films. They're moving pictures, and he's fascinated by it. He always has been.
His passion for film has remained unabated ever since, and his dream of bringing the films he loves to an audience in a theater has sustained him through innumerable setbacks for over a decade.
I love that showman aspect of it, though, too, because I know circuses and Barnum and Bailey and things are going away, and certainly animal cruelty is a bad thing. But to me, a guy like P.T. Barnum, this incredible showman, you know, it's not about there's a sucker born every minute for me. It's more like, you know, this can be fun. This can be a circus. And the experiential side of it, those goofy, wacky things. That's why we did a moon pie eating contest. You know, it's why on our event on Halloween, we had an escape room, a devil-themed escape room, which all respect to the people at the Revelry Room, we call it the Devilry Room. But, you know, it's just about finding those little pieces of fun and sharing those at the same time. And funny, you start doing stuff like that, and you'd be amazed at the loyalty that builds in your audience. And they come back and they ask, what's next? And the people I love the most are the people that hadn't even seen a trailer for the movie that we were showing that week at Cinerama. And they showed up and bought a ticket. And I was like, do you know what you're about to watch? And they're like, nope, surprise me.
Yeah, really?
And that's great.
Yeah, that is fun.
When you build that level of loyalty, it's sky's the limit.
That's
you know?
Right, absolutely.
And you don't want to squander that trust either. So that makes you really protect your choices and make the choices a lot harder, you know?
Cinerama was the grand name Chris and his crew gave to a movie theater they fashioned from an abandoned supermarket on Main Street for a time. And now, after 10 years of pursuing it, Chris Dorch's dream is in sight. This month, he'll finally have a permanent theater where he can show films, as well as presenting stand-up comedy and music 7 days a week downtown in Chattanooga. And the fourth annual Chattanooga Film Festival is set for the first weekend in April. Every year, the festival has drawn a bigger audience. The first year, they say, the audience was around 3,500 people. This year, they anticipate 15,000 people or more over the four-day festival.
Even doing that length of a festival, you see a lot of festivals, like one of them I think the best in the world is called Fantasia, and it's in Canada, but it runs 3 weeks, and I would be dead after a week of, you know, so I'm not quite trying to emulate what the bigger festivals do and do these 10 to 11 day events. To me, that's too much. But what I do is create this weekend jammed to the rafters. And it's like, you know, I figure 72 hours roughly, you're not going to die of exhaustion in that time. We'll give you some water. You know, you'll be all right. So it's, I try to jam it. And I've tried to create on a mini level what I think is, you know, one of the best festivals in the world, but not fall into the larger trappings or do too much like the big guys do. And, you know, again, part of that is due to budget. I'd like to see us go to 5 days eventually, just because there's too much great content to pack it into four. But
we've got Uwe Boll coming. He's a director that kind of has been critically bashed. Ironically, his stuff has resonated with fans. Some critics have called him the worst filmmaker ever that had budget. You know, Ed Wood was the worst probably, but he did things on a shoestring. This guy, you know, has been bashed by the critics, and he's funny because he'll he'll challenge him to a duel in the boxing ring and beat the tar out of him. And so he's a little eccentric. He's from Germany, and he lives in Canada now. He's opened up a restaurant, and he recently said he's going to retire from the film industry. And Chris said, wow, you know, what synergy? So we're going to throw him a retirement party. And Joe Bob Briggs, the master of the drive-in movie critic, is going to come. He acts like a hillbilly, but he's as dumb as a fox. He went to Vanderbilt on a Grantland Rice scholarship. He's brilliant. But that's just his shtick. But it's appropriate that he's going to interview Uwe in a career-spanning Q&A. We're going to show one of Uwe's movies. Postal is one of them. A lot of killing in his films. And then we're going to have an all-night pub crawl after. We're going to go to the little bars around, and it's just going to be really cool.
Chris Dortch has assembled a crew of like-minded, passionate cinephiles to help him. But perhaps his closest partner, his dad, somewhat surprisingly to Chris, has a passion that equals his.
You know, he just got it and weighed in and doesn't want a paycheck. In fact, loves working with young filmmakers so much that really the only thing he gets out of this is I let him put together our student film block. And the joy he takes in being an educator and working with those student filmmakers is just, that's what he gets out of this instead of a paycheck. And somehow that's enough for him, you know, so far anyway.
You see certain phenomena in film where it doesn't do well on first watch. And it gains in stature over the years. And my son is a real fan of that sort of film. And we'll have some of those here. At the time, Monster Squad was a touchstone for some people. But it paled in comparison to probably The Goonies and Gremlins. But now it's aged like fine wine. And people remember it fondly. And it's done well. And so we've got movies like that. Donnie Darko. We've got the 15th anniversary restoration of the film that we're going to show, along with a documentary about the making of it. And, you know, Donnie Darko was a head-scratcher back in the days. I'm still not sure I understand everything. But that thing has gained in stature. It's a cult classic. And Chris loves cult movies. But then we've also got movies that are world premiering here. We've got a movie that you'll absolutely love called Whiskey Galore. It was based on a novel about an island off the coast of Scotland in World War II that ran out of whiskey. And, of course, they were devastated. And this guy wrote a novel about it, and then 2 years later they made a classic film. And now somebody made a 2016 remake of it, and it's spot on. People in the Isles have a dry sense of humor. And it's so funny in that way, and their sheer desperation about not having a dram, as they put it. And what happens in the movie, I won't give away too much, but this ship runs aground. It has 50,000 cases of whiskey in it. And so the movie is about these crafty island denizens who are thirsty for a little dram going to get the whiskey. And so we're going to show Whiskey Galore and you know, we're partnering with a whiskey company, and that's the other thing that we try to do is develop audiences. Like we're showing Score, a documentary about scoring films, and we're getting Bob Bernhardt to introduce it. How cool! We couldn't even have known until I went over there and met with him and found out that he had played golf with John Williams 2 weeks before. And several of John Williams' epic soundtracks are included in this film, including the one that gets me every time, E.T. You know, we've got a movie about the art of the movie poster. When you and I were coming up, they were big, big deals. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of fell out of favor. And then here recently, these indie artists, these punk artists, these new age millennials have started, rekindled the art of the movie poster. So they made a documentary about it. We got another one that I know you'll love. It's called On the Sly. A filmmaker watched the Woodstock documentary once. He'd never seen it. It wasn't around in Woodstock era. So it was a revelation. And of all the artists there, Sly Stone and Sly and the Family Stone just grabbed him, you know, and he just was captivated by them. And he later moved out to L.A., became a voice actor, and tended a little bar. And he wanted to find out more about Sly, so he started digging around, and there just wasn't much to be found. And that was after he disappeared. So he spent 12 years making a documentary on Sly Stone. And it's a great tale. We're showing that. We have Sonic Cinema always, which is films about music. We've got an old silent picture called Our Heavenly Bodies. We're going to have live musical score by a band called Coupler. One of the guys is from Lamb Chop, and the other one did the score for Stranger Things, the series on Netflix. So there's just all kinds of crazy stuff.
One of the most important things about being a cinephile is not forgetting about the fun, too. You can have art house cinema, but you also need to have some popcorn in there, too. And that's where film really hits its peak, I think. And a big part of it is heartbreak, too. I think after Sundance this year, I had over 100 film requests out. And, you know, of those over 100, so far I've locked 7. So it's a lot of heartbreak, and you kind of build your – the metaphor I gave somebody the other day is it's like playing really bad fantasy football, and you make your dream roster with all the quarterbacks and the guys that you want, and then you slowly watch as all your players are killed off.
Slowly whittled away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then at the end, you hopefully still have something that's cohesive and feels – sequence like a beautiful mixtape. And to me, it's I have to very, very carefully balance that, you know. And we do get accused of showing a lot of genre films, but we do that. We show a lot of genre films, but the reason we've done that is, you know, year one, we front loaded a lot of dramas and very quiet things. And the audiences came a little bit, but the stuff they were really excited about was the fun stuff and the human interest stuff and the sci-fi and the action and things like that. And I'm not going to just show award-winning, you know, English patient-style dramas because that's what big prestigious festivals like Sundance do. They also have midnight blocks at those festivals, and those are the most raucous, fun, well-attended things, and I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not going to ignore our audience for higher prestige titles. I just can't do it.
The Chattanooga Film Festival starts on Thursday, April 6th. Details are on the website chatfilm.org. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Moore.